Good afternoon and welcome back to the Better Living radio program. Once again, I'm Peter Lewis. I'm pleased to be able to join you at home, in your car, or in your place of business. We are here in the beautiful Orlando at the Hilton. And with me, I have a special guest who is going to share with us some information and exercise and breast cancer and maybe touching on a few other areas. He is visiting with us from Antigua. So I'm going to ask him, though, to help us to familiarize ourselves with him. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Rex James. I'm from the beautiful island of Antigua, where we have 365 beaches. You can choose one for every day of the year. And if it's a leap year, there's an extra one for you as well.
That's all right.
Well, I work in the government system. I am the coordinator of physical education. I have 40 teachers under my charge, and I'm responsible for physical education in the whole island. I also have teachers specializing in training in Cuba, doing physical education, some 9 of them. As part of my job, I'm responsible for training and for overseeing the physical education and health work in the island, in the schools. I have a very good opportunity because, being a Seventh-day Adventist, I've been working in health for over the past 30 years. So I am familiar with all the denominations, all the institutions in Antigua, and I work very closely with the Ministry of Health.
All right, that's very good. So indeed, our guest has a very wide experience when it comes on to health, over 30 years experience, and he has done many lectures and seminars and exercise and other related subjects. And this afternoon we'd like to kind of zero in on exercise and breast cancer. Who would ever think that exercise have anything to do with breast cancer?
Yes, it has been proven that many breast cancer patients obese, that is, they have a BMI over 30, and some of them even as high as 40 plus. And we know that extra fat is one of the predisposing factors in breast cancer. So one of the key things in alleviating breast cancer is to get in your weight under control. And that is by doing the necessary exercise to do that. Diet also plays a very important part. So it's a combination of diet and exercise.
You mentioned BMI. For our listening audience, there is that body mass index?
Yes, it is body mass index. And what you do, you weigh yourself and you get your height. And that's it's a relationship between your weight and your height, which we call your BMI. There are lots of BMI charts available. You can download from the internet if you go to websites that deals with health, BMI chart. You can look for your height, look for your weight, and then you can see what your BMI is.
Okay, so you've mentioned that there are two areas that will help a person to control their weight, because people with breast cancer, you say, are generally overweight, are obese, and therefore diet and exercise play a major role.
That's right.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about the exercise and the relationship here.
Well, what actually happens in the exercise component of preventing breast cancer, what you have to do is make sure you're doing exercises that is getting your heart rate up to a certain level. And how we do that, you subtract your age from 220, and then what you find is 80% if you're under 50 and 60% if you're over 50. And what you will find is that you can be working in an area where that's not really your chronological age. For example, I'm 55 years old, but I'm working in a 30-year-old zone.
Wow.
In other words, my body is working like a 30-year-old, even though I'm 55.
So that's an indication then that you're living what you're preaching.
That's right. That's right. Every day of my life, for the past 10 years or so, I run aerobic classes. Right now, I'm doing 4 aerobic classes daily. One at 5 a.m. in the morning, one at 10 a.m. during the day, one at 4:30 in the afternoon, and one at 6 p.m. in the afternoon. And one of them is a special class for me. That's the one I do in the prison.
Okay.
I work with female prisoners on a healthy lifestyle program. As I get back to Antigua on Tuesday evening, I will be having a lecture to breast cancer survivors on Thursday at 6 o'clock. And this, my topic will be how physical activity can enhance you preventing or controlling breast cancer. And it's very important that breast cancer know that. I have lectured to them before, but what I observed with them that many of the breast cancer patients, survivors, they are overweight.
Okay.
And they have this notion that you can eat anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned what one time about Kentucky and the one that is called the Crispy, which has reached a point where the trans fatty acids have taken over. They say, oh, we're going to have to give up our Kentucky. I say, yes, you may have to if you really want to live.
That's right.
And if you really want to survive. There are things in life that you can do without. The only thing in the world you cannot do without is God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
With him, you can do all things. But everything else is an option.
Absolutely. So we see exercise then is a very important thing. When it comes on to breast cancer prevention and prevention in almost any other diseases, because we see exercise as being one particular item that affect the circulation of the blood, moving that circulation swiftly and quickly through all parts of the body.
That's right. And we know for sure that exercise is one of the things that help to lower cholesterol level.
Absolutely.
Triglycerides. It also helps to lower blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps to lower your glucose.
Mm-hmm.
And so exercise, as a matter of fact, we call exercise the magic bullet. And one professor told me, exercise is more important than your food.
Wow.
Because all other things hinges around exercise.
Now, you'd have a very difficult time convincing people in America of that one.
I know that. We have the same problem back in Antigua, like the Americans have, obesity. Okay. I have a problem with obesity in my country as well.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, the World Health Organization, through its subsidiary body, the Caribbean Food and Nutrition Institute, is working on a program in the schools right now in my country to teach children a preventative method of preventing diabetes, hypertension, strokes, heart attacks, and certain forms of cancers, which are the major killers in my country.
Mm.
And so the program has four components. Each student should ask himself, am I eating right?
Mm-hmm.
And we teach them what right eating is all about.
Okay.
Am I weighing right? We teach them how to understand body weight. Am I doing daily physical exercise? Because we realize that physical exercise is needed daily. Sometimes you need to use the stairs instead of the escalator or the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to park your car a little distance from work and walk.
That's right.
Right? Exercise. You may need to even put on a pedometer and see how many steps do you walk in a day. For physical activity, if you do 10,000 steps in a day or 5,000 steps in a day, that's good.
Yes,
but
sir.
But how many of us do that?
You know, in America here, we have all kind of electronic gadgets that these days you don't have to come outside of your house to get in your car, because we have those enclosed car garage attached to the house.
That's true.
And so we just come out of the house, into the car, and then right to the workplace. Then we just walk a few feet to get to the door. We come out of the workplace, back to the car, back home. Technology has, to an extent, while it has been a blessing, it has encouraged people to be lazy.
That's right.
To grow to dislike exercise, when exercise is supposed to be a blessing.
That's right. I have noticed now, even in my country, children who live just about a few steps, I would say, from school, they're taking a bus. It's amazing that technology has helped us in lots of ways.
Yeah.
But they have also brought on what we call the lifestyle diseases.
Absolutely.
These lifestyle diseases, you know, cancer, hypertension. So if a machine is going to take away the activity that the human body should be to do normally, then this body must find a way to get that activity somewhere.
Absolutely.
And so we must spend time in taking care of yourself. As I tell people in my classes, you are the only you. There is only one you, and only you can take care of you. You're a special person in the sight of God. You are so unique that nobody has your fingerprint. You are the only one like you.
Wow.
So you must do all that lies in your power to take care of yourself. Nobody can do that for you.
Absolutely. You know, way back in the beginning, after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, one of the things that God told them is that by the sweat of your brow shall you gain bread. Now today, we tend to misunderstand that, but God ordained work as a blessing so that man would sweat, okay? Exercise help us to sweat, because sometimes we just spend all day at the computer.
That's right.
Okay? But the point is this, God saw the importance of sweating, of getting that blood circulating, of moving that the oxygen and the nutrients throughout the body.
Now, science has reached a point now where they're telling us, even when you're in an aircraft, traveling for distances longer than 2-3 hours, you should periodically get up and move, because you can have blockage in arteries from sitting too long.
Absolutely.
And do you know that there are people who sit for hours at the computer?
Absolutely.
Or at Nintendo, mm-hmm. these kids?
Yeah.
Or just being totally inactive.
Wow.
When physical activity, the blessings that one gets from physical activity, they are amazing. Mm. I cannot begin to tell people the benefits they get. You have to take part in it yourself to understand it. You see, I have a passion for this. This is my life work, because I see what it has done for me. When I was doing physical education in England, I remember I fell ill because of stress, and the doctor said I had a silent duodenal ulcer and they would have to do an intestinal bypass, which they did. But my body was so fit that I did not even need blood for the operation. And in 8 days I was in the swimming pool doing laps. They could not even find the stitches.
Praise the Lord.
Right? The nurses at the hospital asked, "Mr. James, are you sure you're all right?" I said, "Yes." In 6 weeks, I was back doing gymnastics.
Wow. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Exercise can make your body tremendously strong. Your heart works better. Your lungs work better. Your circulatory system works better. You get rid of unwanted weight. And this is what I tell children in school. When you exercise, immediately you start to exercise, your heart beats faster. When it beats faster, it pumps more blood.
Right.
Which means more blood goes to the brain, because of where the head is situated, it's difficult to get the blood up. When more blood gets to your brain, it means more oxygen is in your brain, and it opens up your intellect.
That's right.
So exercise opens up your mental faculty and helps you to learn much better.
That's
a plus.
Now, let's see, for our listening audience, we have middle-aged, young, we have elderly. Now, what are some exercises that we can begin to do? A person who was not accustomed to exercising, what are some things that they can start to do to move towards an exercise program?
One of the best forms of exercise is walking.
Walking?
Just walking.
Wow.
Just walking. You may be able only to walk for 5 minutes.
Okay.
But then you can gradually increase it to 10, 15, 20. I remember when I started walking, I could only walk for about, it was about approximately a little about half a mile.
Okay.
And I determined that I must go further and further and further. And now I can walk 6-7 miles. My walking pace is 145 steps a minute.
Hmm.
Which means that I'm doing 11-minute miles walking.
Wow, that's moving pretty fast.
Yes, yes.
That's moving pretty fast.
Right. So brisk walking,
yeah,
getting the heart rate up, getting to that maximum heart rate, which I spoke of before, your age subtracted from 220, and if you're under 50, you find 80% of that. If you're over 50, you find 60% of that, and that's your maximum heart rate while you're doing activity. And that will, as a matter of fact, that will keep you looking younger.
Wow.
I have a very hard time getting people to believe I'm 55.
Wow.
I work with the national football team, and the guys are in their 20s and teens, and they cannot do the activities I'm doing physically.
Wow. I think this is a very good testimony. So one thing our listeners can begin to do is to get on a walking program.
That's right.
How often? Once a week? Once every 2 weeks? Or...
For the body to get any benefit, it must be done at least 3 times a week. And if you can go 7 times a week, that would be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 times a week, for between 15 or 20 minutes, you start off very slowly, maybe 5 minutes the first day, 6 minutes the next day, and you keep adding and adding. And you'll find that as the body begins to adapt, because the body adapts to any stress you put it under. As the body begins to adapt, you will find that you can go further and further and further and further. And soon you'll become so enthused with it that it's like you become addicted.
Wow. And exercise also makes people feel good.
Oh, yes. You feel good and makes you look good.
Absolutely.
I have a story of a young lady in school that I worked with. In grade 9, she was 260 pounds at age 15.
Wow.
With exercise and controlling of her eating, because her family had a supermarket, so she had access to food. She could eat anything she wanted, and that was her problem. Mm-hmm. But after going on the Project Lifestyle program, where you talk about, am I eating right? And she saw what right eating was all about. Then she changed her diet completely, and she started to exercise twice a day. By the time she reached grade 12, at graduation, she was 155.
Wow.
On leaving school, she was 143.
Hmm.
They used to call her Fat Mama, but nobody could call her Fat Mama. As a matter of fact, the boys picked her.
Wow.
The boys picked her because she was looking so good now.
Amazing.
From exercise.
Amazing.
And there's also a sad story to that of one young lady who completely did nothing.
Uh-huh.
She was already overweight, had high cholesterol. We kept talking to her. We spoke to her parents. She left school. She went into the world of work, and she kept this weight. She was so heavy and so large that the taxis used to charge her for 2 seats.
Wow.
Right? And speaking to her, her family told me she would eat how many eggs she could find in the coop when she went out in the morning.
Hmm.
Right? She found 10 eggs, that's what she ate for breakfast.
Hmm.
You know, and eventually I spoke to her, I said, young lady, if you do not take stock of your life, you'll die before you're 30.
Wow.
Sad to say, at age 28, she dropped dead.
At age 28,
she dropped dead.
She dropped dead.
Now, so what has she learned in life? If life has not taught you that you must take care of this body so that it can last a long time, if school does not teach you how to live and give you the education for living, then what's the point?
Well, we thank you very much. We're almost out of time. And I do realize that for some people it may be difficult to get started, but there is the power of God that is available to each and every one to encourage us, to give us that extra push, you know, to help us to do the things that otherwise seems very difficult. All right?
Let me make this last point, especially for breast cancer patients and those on a prevention program. There are certain things we cannot change. That is who your mother and your father is, right? That's what you inherit from your parents. There are some persons that inherit, people say, the genes to get breast cancer. But there are also things that you can change. Your eating habits, your exercise pattern. There are changes that you can make in your life to prevent the onslaught of these chronic diseases.
Thank you very much, and tune in again at our next program, and may God bless you. Bye-bye.